This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, September 26th, 2008.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, the combines have begun to roll. The price of land has skyrocketed, and a great big U.S. bank has failed. What will it all mean to the price of commodities? We'll ask that question and many more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management Services. Our panelists in studio today are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open the discussion with this question. Paul Cooley, when do you think harvest in earnest will start across the Midwest?
We're very busy in the Oakland elevator facility there of ADM Grain taking soybeans. And I'm going to say that this weekend is going to be a beautiful harvest weekend, and I'm going to say the combines are going to be rolling in Edgar and Coles and Douglas counties pretty hard.
And yields?
I would say that the yields on soybeans are a little less than a year ago, but they aren't as bad as we previously thought.
Harvest and yields.
I am McLean County in the Bloomington Normal area. Very little has been done, 30 to 35% corn. Just not much happening. A few beans being cut. Bean yields 50 to 55. The corn we've heard all over the place. But right in our area, we've got another week to 10 days before we have general harvest on corn.
Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities. Greg Johnson is with the Andersons here in Champaign County.
And I would agree with Pete, and I would just want to clarify when he said 30% corn, he means 30% moisture, not 30% done. The corn is still very wet. We're seeing a few beans come in, and you know, some of the beans that got planted in late in mid-May, those beans are ready, but most of the beans got planted in late May, early June, and those are still probably 3 weeks away. So every day there'll be a few people trying, but for Champaign County, really, it's about 10 days away from really getting rolling.
Paul Cooley, Tuesday, grain stocks reports are due out. What do you think?
Well, I think the big news is that the average guesstimates on corn, $1,546,000,000, the beans, I think we'll still be closer to 130, and the wheat somewhere in that 1932. The general feeling is that the feed usage will be interesting to be watched, but the real one that we all like to watch the closest is soybeans, and it'll depend on how they equate last year's yields.
And do you think they'll change things? Is that in the offing, do you think?
Well, I think that it's interesting. There was some problems with last year's production number, yes.
All right. Let's take a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago, and we'll start with the soybeans this week. November, a high of $12.12 and a quarter, a low at $11.34. The settlement price at $11.64, up 20.5 cents from last week. November next year at $11.79 and a half, gained 55 cents. Pete, does it surprise you that November beans on both the new crop and, both sets of new crops, 08 and 09, can manage to gain in the face of financial crisis around the nation?
It is kind of surprising, but I think we're looking at, we still have an unknown harvest. And where we have harvested, it's maybe not quite as good as last year. And we still have good worldwide usage, and our supplies are still very, very tight.
How long, Greg, do you think, if they are still available, will there be quick ships available for those who might have some old crop or some new crop that they can get harvested?
With soybeans, we've seen that basically completely go away here in central Illinois. Last week, you could have gotten 35 to 50 over for beans delivered. Now the basis is 50 under. So that basis has dropped anywhere from 85 cents to a dollar. With corn, there's plenty of corn available, but it's wet. And so there may have to be some drying specials if the demand shows up. Right now, there still seems to be plenty of old crop corn around. So as of this point, there's no premiums out there for quick shipment.
Paul Cooley, it looks like compared to last year to this year that the export sales are really lagging in the beginning of the marketing year. Darrell Good took it up in this week's edition of his Weekly Outlook. And it's far behind. Is that a bad sign for the coming marketing year?
Oh, beans, and we did see today that there was a very large sale of soybean oil from South America to China. They did come in and buy some cargoes of beans. Well, we always like a robust a period of time as far as exports are concerned. I think historically we're going to see a big pickup in Chinese demand on soybeans from particularly the U.S. Ocean freight is cheaper. The barge freight is cheaper, and, of course, railroad deals are there. My general impression is that the end user might think he'll steal this crop, but I think the two things that are going to happen, the farmer has put up more storage. We think the crop space is going to be available. Transportation costs will be down. And my feeling is I feel sorry for anybody that's really short the basis at a big time. My general impression is that equates to some better values in the world. And at some point in time when we do see stability in the marketplace, I think we will see buyers come into the place and start buying. There is always that concern about it. Somebody having some financial troubles. But, hey, this is a big world, a big economy, and a lot of things can happen.
So despite the financial problems in the world, you think that both – you're friendly to bullish both corn and soybeans at this time? Is that the way to read what you just told me?
Well, I think the big thing that we were talking about was soybeans, and my hunch is I don't think we have substantially lower prices in the marketplace. And I think two reasons. Hopefully we will see a financial deal struck this weekend because, hey, this last 10 days has been nonstop financial, basically New York-type, high-finance-type deals. We've had a lot of commodity funds blow out of a lot of positions. And the third thing is we're starting to see crude oil starting to stabilize and actually support above the $105, $110 area. The other factor I think that you have to really go into in a deep thing here is we have liquidated so many long positions in the corn and soybean market, and when you get the price of corn under $5, to the farmer, you're definitely going to put the brakes on as far as expansion of acres and soybean acres next year because, hey, there's world value as far as getting price of corn and beans too cheap as far as getting additional acres in the marketplace.
Pete, despite the volatility, there tends to be some ebb and flow and rhythm in the marketplace. How did you read that during the week this week?
I think you read it that we have enough demand around the world that we're not going to go to the tombs very far. I mean, we might go down here in the next 15 days when we really get deep in harvest, but there's still value there, and we still think that farmers that have enough sold are going to store and that we will have prices come back this winter due to the demand in the world, unless the whole world blows up from depression here and all that crap takes place.
Well, Greg, tell me about the storage and what's available at the Andersons here, how you expect that to happen this fall.
Well, nationwide, we planted 7 million less acres of corn, so I've kind of been friendly the basis all along. It's taken a while, but we're finally starting to see that basis improve. We don't need as much storage space to store 40 bushel beans as we do 180 bushel corn. So we should have, and there was plenty of commercial and on-farm storage built over the last 12 months. So I think we'll have a lot more space available this year. And as Paul said, basis levels probably won't be under a lot of pressure. So storage space is available. Basis levels about a month ago were 50 under the December for corn. We are now 30 under in Champaign. So there's a 20 cent improvement in just a little bit over a month.
December corn, speaking of that, a high this week of $5.74, a low at $5.35 and a quarter. A settlement price up 0.75 cents to $5.43. The December 09 at $5.88 and 3 quarters, up 12 and 3 quarters. Paul, two things. How do you deal with what you've got left or what's going to be harvested this year? And do you do anything with the 09 corn crop yet?
You know, the general impression is that, you know, from the Informa Sparks group, that we're going to plant 3.5 million more acres of corn next year, and we're going to be down 1.7 million acres of soybeans, and that's based on a lot of arithmetic and the idea that we will buy corn acres into the marketplace. We need to buy acres, and those acres will come from pasture, wheat, cotton, and things like that. The general problem is what would I go out in this big inflationary environment in this economy and sell next year's corn? No, not unless it's a substantially higher, you know, in that $6.50 to $6.75, $7 area. You know, those are always interesting deals. But as far as corn is concerned, old crop corn, I think I think that the person probably should be a storer of corn, particularly at these values and less.
Greg, I want to take you to the new crop corn and talk about the acreage and the battle just a bit, because I'm wondering, we talked to Gary Schnitke earlier in the week. I went back through those numbers again today, and I'm wondering if you agree with Paul that we'll need to buy the acres, or if there is enough there already that the acres will be bought based on the difference between corn and soybeans and 409 and production cost. I think there's almost nearly, I think Gary Schnitke told me this week, it's nearly double the edge over the 2000 to 2007 average. So something like $45 an acre was the edge for corn over soybeans over that time. And now it's $985 the edge to the corn. So you told me you think there'll be more acres already, but do we have to have a bigger price to get those acres is the question.
I think farmers need to be incented to plant more corn as of this point. If you told them today, you wouldn't see a big increase in corn acres. CRP acres can stay in CRP if prices, you know, because even though inputs, oil prices, for example, have come down, gas prices at the pump have not come down that much. And even though retail or wholesale fertilizer prices have come down, the retail prices have come down some, but not as much. So, you know, that's a big unknown. Are those inputs going to go back up or are they going to come down? And most farmers, you know, have until 1st of December, 1st of January to make up their minds. And so I think they're going to wait and let the market tell them what to do. If we stay at these prices, my hunch is that corn acres will not be up very much. And I think we do need, you know, 2 to 3 million more acres of corn planted next year than what we did this year. So
you agree with Paul then, if there's going to be more corn acres, that they're going to have to bid for them.
And, you know, also, Todd, University of Illinois estimates the non-land corn production costs at $5.29 an acre, up $1.41 from last year, and soybean costs at $3.21, up $82 an acre from last year. And that tells us a lot right there that, you know, it costs more to raise corn and they're going to have to bid up for acres. And that's probably one of the most supportive ideas that we have with holding on to corn.
Well, let's talk about how you manage that risk then, because we'll have producers that will be wondering as they're combining this year's crop how to manage the risk that they've got to pay up front for next year, especially with the fertilizer costs. Do the two of you, Pete and Paul, have any idea? And I guess maybe the Andersons are in the fertilizer business just a bit now. They might have.
They're in the ethanol business, and they're in the storage business. And
well, we at our end have actually had people buying when we had in the last week to 2 weeks. December 09 corn got down below 560. We had people buying December corn thinking that it will go back to $657 in the 09 crop year to keep those acres going. And if it doesn't go there, we'll have less acres, and that 09 price could explode.
How do you manage the risk, Paul? Production cost risk.
Well, one of the worst things that American farmer or the consumer here or people on fixed income have to worry about, of course, is the inflation cost.
Right.
You know, the old, same old dumb ways of doing business have got to be thrown out the window because everybody's looking at higher seed costs, higher fertilizer costs, and higher costs of playing the game. And one of the worst ways to be out of that, taking care of inflation, is to be out of that commodity and not have inventory. So the management deal is the U.S. government does have still a loan program on farmers on farm storage. You can go in and borrow money. But the big factor here is don't get caught selling dips below $5 on the, harvest production, harvest sales.
Here's some of the rest of the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade for the week. December wheat, a 760 top, a bottom at 714 and three quarters. Settled at 716, down two. July at 761 and a half, off a half. Live cattle finished at $100.95, down 60 for the week. Feeders at 105.80 were down a nickel. Lean hogs finished $1.42 and a half higher at 69.62 and a half. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management. You're listening to Commodity Week.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. We enjoyed a second full week of warm fall weather in Illinois. There were some thunderstorms in central and southern Illinois last weekend, and in northern Illinois in the middle of the week, but otherwise skies were sunny. Temperatures this week were 8 to 10 degrees above normal, with highs in the 80s just about every day, while lows were generally in the 50s. Rainfall was scattered this week. Slow-moving and sometimes stationary thunderstorms popped up last weekend in central and southern Illinois as an upper-level low moved from Missouri through Illinois. Most locations did not get rain, but those that did often had heavy downpours as the storms rained themselves out in one spot. Thunderstorms rolled through parts of northern Illinois on Wednesday, dropping up to an inch and a half of rain. Next week brings the start of October and about the same time the change to a cooler weather pattern. A cold front will move south through Illinois late Sunday and Monday, followed by a reinforcing shot of colder air on Tuesday and Wednesday. Temperatures next week will be below normal and it will feel more like fall. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms may accompany the fronts as they move through Illinois, but in general it looks like another dry week ahead. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, September the 26th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today in studio are Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Our guest is Jerry Goodell. He's the president of Midland Research Incorporated, and in April of 2003, Jerry joined North America Risk Management Services Incorporated as an associate specializing in cash and futures grain markets. North America Risk Management Services, a consulting and brokerage service headquartered in Livingston, Texas, with a local office, of course, in Chicago, where Jerry's located. With more than 30 years of experience in the commodity analysis and brokerage business, Jerry focuses on providing risk management services to livestock and grain producers, as well as commercial operations. Thank you for being on Commodity Week, Jerry.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
In a couple of recent letters, you wrote about the grain stocks report that's due out next week. How do you view it?
Well, I think the corn stock numbers, as a couple of your panelists have already mentioned, is going to be a little bit of the focus scenario there because of we had quite an interesting scenario developed last summer where we had the early southern harvest come in and really move into the export channels and even into some of the southern chicken commercial channels, and some of the normal areas where the USDA surveys their stock levels didn't move. So we had a higher than expected stocks level last year. Then we had some of that green kind of pop into the fall when it finally got shifted over here, when that green didn't show up in the southern stock levels. And then we got all said and done here. We've had overall a pretty sizable amount of livestock numbers. Now, does that, I can estimate around a 75 million increase. And that's a slightly positive scenario on our longer-term situation as we go into this coming year. And also, just today, we had a hog report that showed a few more market animals around. And also, despite having a slightly smaller breeding stock, we continue to have great productivity and have big crops at 100% of a year ago. And that doesn't really slow down our feed demand as much as the USDA was projecting here on some of their latest reports. Soybeans, a quickie there. I'm just anticipating a number there, very similar to what the USDA is doing. They have had experience with some of these past years where we've had an underestimate of the crop. I think that's pretty well accepted across the trade here, and they've been using a 35 million negative residual to kind of represent that. That happens to be about a half a bushel. From there, we did have a kind of a slowdown here in the domestic crush because we kind of just ran out of beans here. Nobody really wanted to spend an extreme amount of value here on basis level on the domestic, and they're kind of searching to wait into new crop. But I'm looking for crush to be down on this report when we get in October. So a lot of these stock numbers, they give you ideas where they're going to go. We don't officially see the numbers until October. We do get a small grains report out for physical numbers there, but none of that translates into S&Ds. And that's really where the bottom line always is people want to know where the S&Ds are at. We will get those ending stocks on corn and soybeans. I'm looking for $135 million. That's pretty close to the USDA's number because I think that the residual is going to be around $20
million. Jerry, I spent a lot of my time this week, particularly with people, men that were ages 62 and over with a net worth of $3 to $10 million, holding their hands about how scared they were, and it's not even Halloween yet. I guess the question I have is, did you have a lot of people that just were scared out of their socks this week? Should they be, and is there a lot of panic left in the marketplace?
Well, there definitely was lots of high emotions about this scenario, none of it having to do with agricultural issues, unfortunately, from our point of view when we were dealing with this, the emotional reactions we're getting. I think that has, hopefully, and it's like all of us, I think, here, anticipate maybe cooler heads get together here and get this toxic mortgage loans out of the basic channels of things so that our credit system can be back to functioning, and then we don't go through the pick a fight with the most latest firm out there. Whoever happens to be in the barrel are going to knock around. We really can't afford that. We've got to get back a more sensible type of financial understandings out here. But it's not an easy matter to get straightened out, but if it's not straightened out early next week, we're going to have more concerns. There's no doubt about that.
Long term, when we look at usage, do you see any problem with usage continuing to stay or grow through the world and here on corn or beans?
I don't. On generalities here, I think that the Asian area, the Indian and the Chinese markets and that, I think are still very viable markets that have substantial money behind them, so much different than they were 10 or 15, 20 years ago, where that. And I think the population and internal growth in those areas are going to help us on that side of it. It's interesting in the fact that the dollar values have started to see some basing in that. I don't know that I would consider, though, that we're going to have a dollar value that's going to be prohibitive here on demand overseas. And in that kind of environment, I sense that that our demand issues maybe could be a little better than I think people are anticipating right now. There's a lot of deflationary mentality out there. But the key thing is, though, is I think there's a lot of people on the demand side is waiting for the harvest period to come in, which I think people, if you guys have mentioned down there, they're going to maybe wait a little too long because they're going to anticipate something to be dirt cheap, and it might not be dirt cheap with the producer out there being able to hold on to it with either expanded storage or sales that already been made, then there's not going to be a lot of new sales being made.
Jerry, I know exports are off to a slow start and ethanol margins are tight, so I'm trying to find something friendly on the demand side. I want to look at the biggest sector of demand, and that's feed usage for livestock. Pilgrim's Pride is reporting problems. I'm just wondering, you know, with this slowdown in economic activity, I understand people will buy less houses, buy less cars. Will they really buy less meat, or how big of a reduction in demand are we looking at if the economy continues to stagnate?
Well, I think that there's a little bit of concern, of course, in the domestic markets and that, but I think the one twist of the thing that's come across now on the beef side particularly is that we've seen the export demand pick up with some of these Asian areas, particularly South Korea, after all their protesting. They seem to be selling quite a little there. On the pork side, we have seen a little bit of a slowdown here with the Russians being a little bit tit for tat on us here because of foreign policy. But overall, I think that the demand side of stuff and the feed demand side of stuff that you're pointing out to, I think, is the USDA is currently using $5.2 billion. I'm more in the 5.3 or 5.4 scenario. I'm also, like you, a little bit cautious about the USDA's 4.1, but I'm not down at that $3.7 billion number that some of the more analytical groups want to point to and say it's all based upon the margins that are in the corn. In the processing of ethanol. I think that the interesting thing about it is who's making the most money in the ethanol business right now? It's not the ethanol producers. It's the energy firms that are blending this stuff. They're talking about, you know, 50, 75 cents difference in price, plus your blending splash fee. That all goes on that side of the ledger. I think that there's going to be enough demand issues to push that and keep it going because they're making the money, and they're going to keep kind of keeping the baby going just enough to keep the business going so they can make the money from that standpoint. Hopefully we don't have a belly-up problem with Verisun because of their issues and that has come about because of some hedging problems there. But maybe they'll be the first one will be bought by a energy firm. You never know.
Jerry, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
All right.
Jerry Goodell is with North America Risk Management Incorporated, joining us from his Chicago offices right here on Commodity Week. Now, time for a final word from our studio panelist, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
I'd give Polson and Bernanke a very high score this week for the job they did.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
I'd be very careful out there as we start the harvest and get really going, and I'd store what I can of everything.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County.
Assuming a bailout does happen in the next few days, you would think that would weaken the dollar, add a little inflationary pressure, and that should be good for commodity prices.
Thank you much to our panelists and our guest, and that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. Have a very good, safe start to the harvest. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.